I'd like to invite you to take God's Word and open it up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21 tonight. I've made that statement that the book of Romans is one of the most wonderful books in the Bible. I call it the foundation of our faith. I think that is what Romans is. It's the foundation of our faith. But the book of Romans tells us about the grace of God perhaps more than any other book in the Bible. It not only tells us about the grace of God, but it also talks about the faith of God. And when you mention the word grace, to me it's a beautiful word, but perhaps almost the most beautiful word. The other only other word that would beat the word grace, that would be more beautiful, would be the word Jesus. If you was to make an acrostic out of the word grace, and what I mean by that, you take each letter of the word grace and you put a word for that letter. Well, I came up with this. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he was in agony and he was shedding his blood for our sins. What did that do? That provides all of us the riches of God. Now, folks, that's grace. That's grace. But the question is, how do you reach out and lay hold of that wonderful gift that God has freely given us? And I've said this many times. I said it in our Sunday school class this morning. You got to have faith. Without faith, you never, ever experience the grace of God. The scripture that Kenneth read, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through" what? Through faith. Through faith. The title of tonight's lesson, faith. One little simple word, faith. What it is and how to have it. So we did an acrostic for grace. When we asked the question, what is faith? What if you did an acrostic for faith? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. And what I'm saying, I forsake all of my good deeds. I forsake all of my good intentions. I forsake all of my sins, and I put all of those stuff behind me, and all I do is trust Jesus. Folks, grace is God's ability. Faith is man's responsibility. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for the whole world. But if we don't receive that, if we don't accept that, if we don't believe that, then it does nobody any good whatsoever. It takes faith to endure the riches, the grace that God has given us, and all of the things that grace provides. It comes to you and it comes to me through faith. It's very, very important that a person understands what faith is. Now, Paul has been talking about the grace of God, and now he begins to talk about the faith. And I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 21. Beginning in verse 17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and an obstinate people. Let me say this before we go any further. Anyone that says they cannot believe, or she, is a liar. You can't just make up your mind that you cannot believe, because Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us in Romans 12 and verse 3 that God has given every person a measure of faith. If you don't believe, it is coming from your heart. It's not a head problem. The lack of faith is not a weakness. The lack of faith is wickedness. It's a terrible sin not to believe. And it does not come from up here. The words may come out of my head up here, but the root of that is in the heart. That is where the faith comes from. Unbelief does not come out of the head. And I said all that standing on the front porch, okay? So now let's go inside the house. Let's go inside the house and let's get into the heart of this. I want you to see four things tonight. I want you to see the object of faith to begin with. When a person says they have faith, what does that mean? You've got to have an object of faith. And folks, our object of faith is God. That's who our faith is in. It's in God. So what do? You get to know Him. The object of faith is God, so know Him. You ever had somebody say, you just keep the faith, brother? Faith in what? Don't lose the faith. Don't lose it in what? Faith in faith is nothing. Where's our faith at? Our faith is in God. What do you place your faith in? You have to have an object to faith to place your faith in. So many people, they call things faith which really aren't faith. Now, positive thinking, it is a great thing. I'm not going to stand up here and talk bad about positive thinking, but folks, positive thinking is not faith. Giving it your best shot, that's all good. I understand that. But that is not faith. Hoping for the best, that's well, and that's good. You're entitled to do that. But that is not faith. Faith is nothing. It's nothing without an object. And the object of our faith is Almighty God. Look in verse 11 in chapter 10 of Romans. Verse 11. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in, does it say whatever? Does it say in anything? No, it says, anyone who trusts in Him. Who's Him? Him is Jesus. Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Folks, there's nothing magical, there's nothing mystical about believing. It's not a secret. Some people say, well, faith moves mountains. Well, that's not true. That's taken solely out of context. If you want to turn with me, turn to Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 11 and read with me in verse 22, or you can stay right where you're at, and we'll be right back there in just a second. But verse 22 says, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. It's God's power that moves that mountain. It's not man's faith. And yeah, our faith is in God. Faith in faith is nothing. Faith in faith is nothing. And it is no more than positive thinking when you put your faith in nothing. A little boy came home from school and he walked in, his head was down, and he went up to his dad and he said, Dad, I think I flunked my math test today. And the father said, No, wait a minute, son. Listen, don't think that away. You've got to think positive. So he thought for a minute. He said, Dad, I'm positive I flunked my math test today. So many people, they look at these things that we call positive thinking. There's a lot of what I call self-help books out there. And don't get me wrong, folks. All of these are good. Some say, hey, if you can believe you can do it, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. Just because you believe it doesn't mean you can achieve it. But people are making millions and millions of dollars writing these books. And it's just not true. Number one, you have to have faith in an object. And the object of our faith is God. So therefore, know Him. Know Him. And the more that you get to know about Him, the more you're going to know of Him. And all of a sudden, this faith becomes a byproduct of your heart. Get to know Him. Point number two, the origin. We talked about the object. The object of our faith is God, and we get to know Him. The origin of our faith is the Word of God. So if you wanted to put a little line out beside that, so hear Him. The origin of our faith is the Word of God, so hear Him. Look in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10. We just read, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Folks, you have to listen to God if you're going to have faith. You cannot pray outside the will of God and expect your prayer to be answered yes. So how do you know what is the will of God? How do you know to pray inside the will of God? You've got to know what God says. You've got to know what God's will is. How do you get to know what God's will is? By this book. By what it says right here. You or I can't generate faith from the inside of us. I can't stand up here and tell you, all right, I'm going to grip my teeth and I'm going to clench my fist. All right, I'm going to believe. It doesn't work that way. What does that say? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing. And the Bible plainly, clearly teaches us that our faith is given to us from God. Now, I'm not talking about a natural faith. I'm not talking about the faith that you have right now sitting on this pew and you have no concern of it falling down. I'm not talking about the faith that we have in the engineer or the construction people that built this building. We have no concern of this roof falling in. I'm not talking about a natural faith. I'm not talking about a faith that we go into a restaurant and we expect our food to be cooked and it's clean. We all have that. We all have natural faith. One man said, you want to talk about natural faith? He says, You go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you you have a disease that he's never heard of. He writes you a prescription that we can't read. We go and get a medicine that we can't pronounce the name of it. We go to a druggist. We don't know who it is. And then he gives us a bottle of liquid, and it tastes like poison, and we drink all that back down, and then we go back and get some more. That's faith. That's natural faith. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual faith. Talking about biblical faith. You cannot believe in God unless He enables you to believe. And without hearing God's word, you have no basis for faith. So how do we get faith? The instrument that God uses to enable us to believe is what? Is the Bible. Is His word. The object of faith. The object of faith is Almighty God. So know Him. The origin of faith is the word of God. So hear Him. The objective of faith is God's will. So we yield to Him. We submit to His will. Why does God use you? Why does God use me? Why does God use any Christian? What is faith all about? What does it mean? Well, folks, faith is God's way of getting God's will done here on earth. It's not man's way of getting man's will done in heaven. It is God's way of getting God's will done here on earth. That's why He uses you. That's why He uses me. That's why He uses every believer to get His will done here on earth. Look in verse 12 of chapter 10. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. So what is God's will? If God wants to have His will done here on earth, what is God's will? Well, it just tells us right there. He wants everybody to be saved. Go back up to, or look in verse 15 now. Come down to verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God's will is for you to be saved. God's will for me as a preacher, as for Mike, or as for anybody that stands in this pulpit, is to preach the gospel of Christ to people that don't and never have heard it. But it is also to preach the gospel of Christ to strengthen your faith and to also teach the word to strengthen your faith. When I prepare a lesson, I don't originate that lesson. That lesson comes out of this book right here. I don't go home and sit behind my desk and think of what I think that you need to hear. It's not my opinion of what. All I am is a messenger. All I am doing is repeating what God says right here in this book. I'm His messenger. I'm here to strengthen your faith. And I'm here to save a soul with God speaking through me. It's not my origination bringing you a lesson. What do I think they want to hear tonight? Well, do I devise a plan for them for me to know what they want to hear? And then I'm going to say a prayer and ask God to bless it? No. I'm not preaching an opinion. I'm preaching God's word. When Gary Bashford goes to Sam's to pick up supplies for this church body and this church building. He doesn't go into Sam's and grab a buggy and go down an aisle and say, well, I think the church needs this. I think the church needs that. No. What does he have? He has a list. Where did that list come from? Our leadership, our elders. What is he? He is a messenger. What is he doing? He is doing what his leader told him to do. What are we? We are messengers. We are doing, supposed to be doing, what God tells us. Folks, don't get this backwards. We are God's servants. God is not our servant. We are his servants. I started this series of Romans chapter 1. And when I did, we came out of the gate and it was all about sin. It was all about God's wrath. And I touched on some points that probably you may disagree with. You may have got your feelings hurt. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I didn't dodge this. This is God's word. I'm not going to just tell you the good stuff. There's sin and there's wrath. And then there's joy and there's happiness and there's salvation and there's faith and there's grace. And we've talked about all of that. But the gospel is two parts, folks. It's sin and wrath, and it's faith and grace. And now we're getting to the faith. And we've talked about the grace. We talked about salvation. If there's something that I have said, you don't really have a problem with me. I'm just a messenger. You need to take that up between you and God. That's the problem. I will confess one thing. I did skip chapter 9 in Romans. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but I did. But chapter 9 in Romans deals with predestination, and it's a very deep subject. And it's not that I didn't understand it. I understood it. But I have a little bit of a problem explaining the way I understand it in a way that you can understand it. And so I just skipped it. It wasn't nothing to do with salvation, but I can tell you this. No one is predestined to hell. No one. Remember, we are God's servants. He is not our servant. That's the objective of faith. Faith is not getting man's will done in heaven. Faith is getting God's will done here on earth. The object of faith is God. So know him. The origin of faith is the word of God. Listen to him. The objective of faith is the will of God. So submit to him. And the fourth and final thing I want you to see tonight, the operation of faith is the work of God. The operation of faith is the work of God. So obey him. It's as simple as that. Obey him. If you say you believe in God and do not obey him, what you're really saying is I don't believe it. What you're saying is I don't have any faith in God. When you say you believe in him and you don't obey him, you're saying I don't believe he can do what he can do. Folks, faith is belief with legs. That's what faith is. Look in verse 17 again in Romans chapter 10. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Now go to verse 21. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long, God, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and an obstinate people. What does disobedient mean? Not to obey, doesn't it? If someone is disobedient, what would you say? They don't obey. They refuse to obey. God says, all day long, I've held out my hands. And everybody said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. All day long, to a disobedient and an obstinate people. What people do, they take the word of God, they take the truth, and they pass it by the judgment bar of their mind, their opinion. And then they become the jury themselves. And they say, no, I don't think I want to do that. I just don't feel like I want to obey that. Folks, the operation of faith is obedience. The operation of faith is obedience. You're not saved by a faith and works, but you are saved by a faith that works. And James says that. He says faith without works is dead. The object of faith is obedience. If you read that last scripture right there, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and an obstinate people. Well, folks, tonight God is, He's standing right here, and He's got His hands stretched out. And He's asking you to come and partake of the grace that He has freely given to anyone that is willing to receive it. How do you receive it? Through faith. You confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You repent, and then you're baptized. And then you begin to demonstrate that walk of faith as He tells us to do, to live a faithful life until the end, till we're called home. And then people see that faith. God is not only asking you, but I am asking you. Come and just grab His hand. Grab His hand, that hand of grace. Won't you do that right now as together we stand and as we sing?